And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to Preview Hate Week. It is the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday evening at 5:30 p.m. kick down in Iowa City. Luke, how are you?
I'm well. Hate Week. This is big deal. I mean, hate, but also there's probably gonna be some love. You know, Iowa has been showcasing this new game day tradition where they turn and wave to the new hospital center back there. And I have to imagine that PJ Fleck is a ginormous fan of that gesture.
Yes, he talked about it earlier this week in his press conference. He is going to have the team do the same when that happens. Do you remember what quarter it's after?
I think it's after the first. And let's be honest, it's a pretty cool gesture. And the fact that they have the hospital so close and they can see, and that's also kind of neat to know that, you know, from a campus perspective, just how it's laid out. I think that's kind of cool.
It is, and so you know, Minnesota is going to be joining in with that. So with all the hate between Minnesota and Iowa fans, there is loving and caring in the gesture in the football game. And then after that first quarter kind of ends, after that gesture is back, I expect it to be a pretty big brawl with two Big Ten teams.
All right, so let's just get into this game right away. Well, hold on real quick. Ryan, have you been out deer hunting yet? Because you are known you are known throughout basically the state of Minnesota now as Bow Hunting Burnsy. I wouldn't say that's the best nickname for you, but it's kind of stuck.
Well, if you can, what would your nickname be for me then?
I don't know.
You've known me quite a long time now.
Yeah, there's so many things that I'd rather call you that I probably shouldn't say, so I'll defer to not say them.
All right, so yeah, deer hunting wise, I mean, it's fun to see, you know, people get excited about bow hunting, you know, deer hunting in general, and they tweet me pictures, and I always love to see trail cam pictures, or if you got, you know, your first doe of the season, or if you got your buck, you know, shoot them, you know, shoot me a tweet at Ryan Burns MN. I always love to see that. But I got my two first sits in of the season. I got them in last night and then tonight, Thursday night. Wednesday night was much better than tonight in terms of deer activity. There was not a lot of wind. I was sitting in a gully and saw a lot of deer. I'm pretty sure I had a shooter 50 yards behind me in some buckthorn, but he's a very smart deer. There's a reason he's that old. And he waited until probably 2 minutes after shooting light to make an appearance 23 yards ahead of me at a scrape. And I couldn't accurately identify what he was, so I didn't pull the trigger. And then today I got to my tree stand at probably about 3:30. It said it was 50 degrees out. And when I got to my car at 6:30, it was 37 degrees.
Oh.
So it was quite windy, it was quite gusty, it was quite cold, and unfortunately that didn't lead to deer movement tonight, which is unfortunate because I thought tonight was going to be the night. But I will be back out there next week, which I'm hoping a lot of you bow hunters should be, considering it's Halloween week. It's the week before the Army of Orange hits the stands, and I know I got a buck, I got a couple of bucks on my hit list yet that haven't been able to make an appearance, but we'll have to see what next week brings. You never know what's going to be out there, Luke. And here's the biggest thing I'll tell everybody. You won't kill them sitting at home.
Yep.
You have to go out and you have to sit there. I know sometimes it's long hours away from from friends and family. But if you want to have something that you're proud of up on the wall, you need to be out there. Because, again, you're not going to kill them by sitting in your recliner.
Well, you know, the farmers are out there helping you, taking down a lot of that corn. So tip of the cap to those guys out in the combines helping your efforts.
They were actually out there on Wednesday harvesting the corn while I was out there. So that was pretty exciting, too. I know that Luke and I actually talk a little bit of ag offline. So, yeah, I always have a couple of farmer buddies, and I've been pestering them all month. Have you got the beans out yet, and have you started the corn?
So, yep.
Now that the corn's gone from the cornfield that I hunt by, all bets are off. No more places to hide. They only got to come to the timber, and let's hope that I'm 20 yards away.
All right, so let's talk a little football now. Gophers, Iowa, we already referred to this as hate week and love week all at the same time. This is an interesting game. The Gophers come in 4-3, 1-3 in conference. Iowa, conversely, as well, is 4-3, 1-3 in the conference. I would argue that at this point, Iowa has played the tougher of the schedules. They played a very strong Penn State squad, very tight. Had an opportunity at home, but alas, was
lost
not
it on the last play of the game. Yep. You were the one texting me during that game,
yes,
saying, "Here comes the Trace McSorley drive," just yep, like he did to Minnesota, and there he goes, dunks his way down the field.
Yep.
No time left. He's able to put it over Park Center's Imani Hooker for the touchdown. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yep.
Yep. Another loss to a Michigan State, 17-10, that one on the road. Then they had a pretty strong win against Illinois. That's a common opponent as well. And then
when you say pretty strong, and just in terms of game score, because I think everyone here knows how bad Illinois is.
Yeah. No. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's strong in terms of the scoreboard. You know, they won 45-16. And then last week lost to Northwestern on the road in overtime, 17-10. So, you know, I would argue that at this point, Iowa's definitely played the tougher schedule. It probably is arguably the better team on paper right now. So that said, even though they have identical records, it will be an interesting game. They have a lot of similarities, as we'll probably touch on here. But I was shocked, you know, as we dug in a little bit, to know how similar these two teams are.
They are. And more than just the records. I mean, you look at both offensives and defenses, they're playing very similar. So Luke mentions it, both Minnesota and Iowa are 4-3 right now. They're 1-3 in the Big Ten, with their lone win for both squads being home wins against the Fighting Lovie Smiths of Illinois. You look at the Vegas line for this game, it's Iowa is a 7-point favorite, and that line has come down from 8.5, which it opened. And I was one of the things I watched throughout the week was, as we're recording this Thursday night, was that line going to get under 7? Because, I mean, that's a big movement. And even a half point there means so much because, again, that's a 24-17 game instead of a 23-17 game. And that means that the sharps and the public have bet this line down even more, betting on Minnesota, which is obviously a good thing for Gopher fans. But it has stayed at 7. So you look at the way Luke phrased it, Iowa, when you think of them, you know, the Kirk Ferentz team that they are, you think of them as this power running team. They want to run the ball. Well, the issue is their running game has been about as good as Minnesota's has of late. And take out last week's performance from Minnesota, and it hasn't been very good. And that same story holds true for the Hawkeyes. They have one of the best running backs, in my opinion, in the Big Ten, in Akram Wadley. You were able to see him on display against Penn State. He had that, I think, a 75-yard screen touchdown where he was able to make a couple of different Nittany Lions. It's a tough word to say, actually, for me right now. Looked pretty stupid, making them miss every which way. He's a very talented running back, and he's had nowhere to go. The run game for Iowa during Big Ten play has absolutely failed them. You look at what they've done in their three losses. They've run for 190 rushing yards combined in their three losses. So that's about an average, if my University of Minnesota math is correct in my Tartan high school education, about 63.3 yards a game on the ground for Iowa. Now think about that, 63 yards a game on the ground for Iowa in their losses. And then their one win against Illinois at home, they ran for a 191. So I think the game plan for Minnesota has to be pretty clear. It's stop the run. And when you also think about it, you think of a stout defense, especially with the linebackers they have. Josie Jewell looks to be back for the Hawkeyes, their best player on defense. He missed the Northwestern game last week with an injury. He looks to be back. And this Iowa run defense hasn't been very good as well. You look at them through 167 rushing attempts through four Big Ten games. So, again, just above 40, 41, 42 attempts a game. They're giving up 4.48 yards a carry. So we talk about how bad Minnesota has been struggling to run the ball. We've talked about how bad Minnesota has been struggling to stop the run. Well, the Hawkeyes are about in the same position, and where things differ is I think that Iowa's quarterback is much better than Minnesota's right now, and he is a sophomore from Menominee, Wisconsin, by the name of Nate Stanley, someone that the previous Gopher staff didn't give a look because he can't play another position other than quarterback. You know, it's quite the concept to only recruit a quarterback to play quarterback, looking at you, previous offensive coaching staff, a.k.a. Jerry Kill and Tracy Clays, but I mean, how do you not? This is a kid from Menominee, Wisconsin, that didn't have a Minnesota offer, and Minnesota really didn't even seriously look at him. Now he has been very good for the Hawkeyes, but the one area, and we'll get into a little bit later, Luke, that he has been struggling is he has six fumbles already. Six fumbles through seven games. That's not a good recipe, including he's lost four of them. So I think quarterback play for Iowa is better than Minnesota right now, but you mentioned it, a lot of similarities between these two teams.
One of the things that stuck out to me when I was kind of looking at the statistics is, you know, you talked about how both teams have struggled to run the ball, but, you know, just how drastically bad they are in terms of explosiveness, right? So we refer to Football Study Hall a lot, and if you look at rushing ISO PPPP, Minnesota ranks 123rd in the country, where Iowa is 120th. And, you know, often, I mentioned this to you earlier this week.
Do you want to explain for those who don't know what that means? So if they're both two of the bottom 10 teams in the country in that stat, what does that mean for the running games?
Yeah, it basically means that the quantity of the number of kind of like explosive runs. What is the actual definition? I don't know off the top of my head. Do you?
It just means that Minnesota and Iowa are two of the least explosive running teams in the country. So while they may have success on the ground, it's not going to be for like 50, 60, 70 yards.
Correct. But
I mean, heaven forbid either one of the teams has a run over 25. They just can't really break these big or long runs.
Right. But do you actually know that? I can't recall. I know I've looked at it before, but what the actual, how they, I think they define it greater than 15 yards, right? Greater than 15 yard runs.
I think so.
I think that's what it is. I didn't look it up at the moment, but yeah. So, you know, what you'd consider like a chunk yard run. So, you know, 15 or plus, it might be 10 plus. Sorry. Look that up for yourself. But the one thing, you know, that stuck out to me is when you look at these running backs at the beginning of the season, you would have said Shannon Brooks, Rodney Smith, Akram Wadley. These are three of probably the top six, seven running backs in all of the Big Ten, right? But, you know, when you look at the statistics, neither team's running the ball particularly well. And I think that just speaks to, you know, being successful at something like running the ball is really a team effort, right? And it's obvious, you know, most of the time, but you'd think with these returning stud running backs, you just expect the results. And it's very obvious that they've just not come.
Exactly. And you pointed out that offense and defense and just the game of football overall is a team game. And if you don't have somebody do their assignment on the 11 players in your defense, it's going to show. And so you mentioned Akram Wadley, Shannon Brooks, Rodney Smith, and whatever you think of Kobe McCrary. I mean, these are very talented running backs, and they've had nowhere to go throughout the entire season. And you look at Iowa's offensive line, I think it's in similar shape to where Minnesota's at. I think they're starting a true freshman at either right or left tackle by the name of Tristan Wirfs. This just isn't the Iowa offense that you're used to seeing, especially on the offensive line right now. We know what Minnesota's seen, including, I don't know if anybody saw this, but Andy Greeter tweeted it out. We've been talking about it on Gopher Illustrated as well, that starting right tackle for, I believe, the first four games of the season, Nick Conley from Red Wing, Minnesota, he has retired from football because of injuries. And I mean, it's kind of the way offensive line has gone for Minnesota this decade. You look at, you know, Nick Conley, Jimmy Jerry. There was a offensive lineman from Ohio, Ted Stieber, that Minnesota had on roster last year. He retired from injury.
One of the Mays brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. Alex Mays retires from injury. Connor Mays decides to transfer out. And then he quits the game of football, citing lack of passion. Tyler Moore transfers to Oklahoma State, and then he gives up the game of football. I mean, Minnesota's luck with offensive linemen and injuries and different things like that in terms of why, you know, different reasons to leave the game of football has been very, very bad. And, you know, I feel for Nick Conley. Again, no one wishes to give up the game of football via injury that way. You always want to go out on your own terms. So, you know, I wish the best to Nick Conley and his family, and hope he can succeed off the field, because I know he was playing well on it. But back on point, it's just, this hasn't been the way that either team thought this was really going to go. And I guess you could say that for Iowa. Again, they had Penn State on the ropes. They lose in overtime last week because Noah Fant drops a fourth down, first down pass. I mean, some bad luck has gone their way. Minnesota's lost three Big Ten games when they've been either tied, leading, or within 3 points in the last 3 minutes of each of those games. So, I mean, you're looking at this as, you know, both of these teams are playing about the same. I think it's just going to come down to a few key select factors, though.
All right. So I know you mentioned that, you know, the Gophers have lost Nick Conley for good. Is there any relief coming in on the injury front, or I'm kind of assuming not?
I wouldn't assume so. The good news is Rodney Smith, who was in the concussion protocol when he left the game last week. Justin, I forget who tweeted it out. I want to say Justin Gard. Maybe it was Andy Greeter. One of the two talked about how PJ said both are expected back in terms of Rodney Smith from his concussion, and then Shannon Brooks missed the game last week because of an ankle sprain. So they're both expected back, and I'm expecting a three-headed monster between Kobe McCrary, Shannon Brooks, and Rodney Smith. I think that Kobe has shown that when you give him 17 or more touches, he can be very productive with that. Now, I'm going to be interested to see if it's divided up evenly, one-third, 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 or if it's 40-30-30. But I'm expecting somewhere in the range of 12 to 15 touches for each one of the running backs. Obviously, more if the game script goes that way, where if Minnesota has a lead, they're obviously going to be running the ball more. But if Minnesota's trailing in this game, which they more than likely will be, maybe you see those touch counts kind of scaled back a little bit. So we're going to have to see how that plays out. But it is something very interesting to monitor.
All right, so just looking at, I guess maybe we should go through when the Gophers are, you know, going to be on defense. You know, what we can kind of expect. We know Iowa has struggled, you know, in the running game. And we've touched on their play at quarterback, but you know, what can we kind of expect in out of their passing game?
Which passing game?
Iowa's passing game. Yeah. So when the Gophers are on defense.
Sure. So again, we talk about Nate Stanley, someone that has been very efficient through the air. He likes to throw to his tight ends. You look at Noah Fant, someone that Minnesota was in the running to. I believe he took an official visit to Minnesota, if my memory escapes me. He was a 2016 recruit, so my memory may be a little bit hazy there. Their leading receiver is from the state of South Dakota, I believe, by the name of Matt Vandenberg as well. So you look at a couple of Midwest kids there. Again, this isn't some kind of field-stretching Iowa team. They've had very little success with other out-state, kind of out-of-the-region wide receivers in terms of their hit rate. So is Minnesota. But Nate Stanley has been very good in terms of taking care of the ball for the most part. His touchdown-interception ratio has been very good. And this passing game, again, if Minnesota is able to shut down the run, yes, that's a good thing. But Nate Stanley is talented enough to make the ball, you know, really get down the field into accurate positions for his receivers to make plays.
You said he has a little bit of a fumbling problem. Is this just a function of the offensive line not being able to cover for him, or you know how is he getting into these situations where he has so many fumbles?
Yeah, you mentioned it, and he's not really a mobile guy. Someone that you're going to see like Demery Croft get somewhere between 8 and 12 carries a game. That's not Nate Stanley's game. It's on these stacks. It's when he's trying to scramble, make something out of nothing, and that's where the fumbling problem has become. And again, I mentioned it, Nate Stanley through 7 games has 6 fumbles. He's lost 4 of them. So you look at this Minnesota defense that's trying to play opportunistic. They have forced 10 turnovers the last 3 Big Ten games. That's extremely good. We'll get into the issues that the offense has had putting that into points. But you look at Minnesota's defense, one of my keys to the game is the ball is the program, and Minnesota needs to win the take give. Because if you're going to win at Kinnick for the first time in 18 years, you're going to have to win the take give. You're going to have your offense get more possessions and plus territory to try, you know, have a better opportunity to put up points. And Nate Stanley and stripping him when Carter Coughlin or Blake Cashman, Kamal Martin, those guys get to the quarterback, finding the ball, knocking it away, you know, that's a great way Minnesota's going to find a way to get more opportunities.
All right, let's get into your keys to the game. Before we do that, I'll get into some details on this game. So this game is on Saturday at 5:30, which is a unique time. Do you recall the Gophers ever playing a game at a 5:30 p.m.?
No, I was talking about this in the press box last week with David Shama, and he's like, I've never covered a game at like 5:30 before, so I'm not entirely sure if it's just – it obviously must be something with the TV rights. It is on Fox Sports 1.
Right.
It is not on Big Ten Network, so before you try to sit down in your recliner – at 5:25 to find the game, make sure you know what channel Fox Sports 1 is on. It's the same channel Minnesota played on, I believe, against Oregon State in one of the game this year. Yeah. So must be something with the TV money deals. You know, this game's at 5:30. must be another game at 9 that they're trying to do in terms of Pac-12 after dark, but it's an interesting start time, that's for sure.
Yeah, that is unique. I guess looking at the weather in Iowa City for that game, it looks like it should be somewhere in the 40-ish, maybe kind of like low 40s, 5 miles an hour coming from the northwest in terms of wind. It doesn't look like it's going to probably rain, but it'll definitely cool off into the evening down to about 25 overnight. So it'll definitely be cooling from that 43 high. So it should be a pretty nice night for football.
It sounds like some Big Ten late October weather to me. When you look at a 5:30 start this weekend, and then I believe the Michigan start time is 6:30. So for those of you that are going to be joining the Army of Orange heading to your deer stands that Saturday, you'll be able to get a full day sit in. And when you come back from the cabin or come back into deer camp, you can flip on the Gopher game and see the Gophers next week take on the Wolverines in Ann Arbor.
All right, Ryan, let's get into your keys for this game if Minnesota is going to be able to pull out a victory.
Yeah, let's talk about it. And I already mentioned it. It's my first key to the game, but you can find all of these in my preview on Gopher Illustrated, is the run game. Last week, Minnesota running backs ran for 256 yards on 43 carries. That's just about 6 yards a carry in that home win versus Illinois. And that kind of success is going to have to happen again if Minnesota is going to win this weekend. As an offense during Big Ten play, heading into that Illinois game, Minnesota had only ran the ball at a 3.62 yards per carry clip. The running backs were under 4 yards a carry. Following the Illinois game, when it was a get-right spot for Minnesota at home against a terrible front seven for Illinois, that 3.62 yards per carry jumped all the way up to, as a team, 4.20, so 420. I was waiting for you to see it. You're not going to take the bait on a 420 joke? Really?
No, I'll pass. It's fine.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, so the yards per carry jumps almost 0.6 of a yard, which is that's obviously a huge jump in terms of the sample size. And then the running backs alone, they jump from 3.91 yards per carry in Big Ten play all the way up to 5.36. So last week was a definite get right spot for Minnesota, and Illinois' defense seems to be the cure all, especially when you look at how the Illinois defense fared against this Iowa team as well. And Iowa's run defense during Big Ten play has not been as stout as you think it had been. I mentioned it. They're giving up 4.48 yards a carry on about 42 rushing attempts a game. So they've also been seriously struggling to run the ball. I already mentioned it. In their three losses, they are running the ball for 2.3 yards a carry. I mean, that is an absolute recipe for Minnesota for success. But the issue is, you know, with how bad Iowa's run defense has been, Minnesota's has been just as bad when you take out the Illinois game. You know, you look at how bad Minnesota's running offense has been when you take out the Illinois game. It hasn't been very good. You know, Minnesota as a team without Illinois, when you look at both teams taking out Illinois games at Big Ten play, Minnesota's running the ball at 3.62 yards a carry, Iowa 2.34. So if Minnesota's going to be able to win this game and connect, they're going to have to do both of these things in terms of establish the run with McCrary, with Brooks, with Smith. And they're going to have to stop Akram Wadley. Number two, my second key to the game, the ball is the program. So if you're going to win for the first time in 18 years since 1999 down in Iowa City, you know, you're going to have to win the take give. And I talked about Minnesota's defense the last 3 weeks has been absolutely elite at forcing turnovers. They have forced 10 turnovers in their last three ball games. They've been able to create a lot of havoc around the quarterback, the ball carrier, strip sacks, stripping the ball carrier of the ball, and interceptions. The issue is, on those 10 turnovers, Minnesota's offense has only been able to convert those into 34 points. I mean, if you're going to be getting the ball, and I didn't average out the average starting position for these 10 drives from the Minnesota offense, but I'd have to imagine it's at least around midfield, if not better, to only get 3.4 yards per turn or 3.4 points per turnover. That's not a recipe for success if you're going to win on the road in the Big Ten at Iowa. So Iowa's offense has been susceptible to turnovers, and they've been very bad in terms of the take-give when you look at how they've played in their three losses. I believe they're -2 in Big Ten play when they lose. So Minnesota has to win the take-give here. They have Iowa alone as a team has 7 fumbles in their last 4 games. So That should be sweet music to the ears of many Gopher football fans and Rob Smith on that Golden Gopher defense. And Minnesota's offense is going to have to do its part as well. Demery Croft can't have two ill-advised throws. He can't have any botched snaps. He can't be missing the handoff, especially with Josie Jewell back, the best player in my eyes in that Hawkeye defense. Demery Croft's got to be able to take care of the ball. And then finally, they have to finish the game. I mentioned it already. In the three losses Minnesota has in Big Ten play, they've either been tied, winning, or within 3 points in the final 3 minutes of each one of those games, but they have zero wins to show for it. That has to change this week because I think this is going to be a close game. And you look at the issues Minnesota's had in their three Big Ten losses, the defense is giving up almost 14 points in the fourth quarter. That doesn't help a struggling offense, which Minnesota has been. So if Minnesota is able to really figure out the run game on both sides of the ball, win the take give and finish in the fourth quarter, they're going to set themselves up to be in a pretty good spot come Saturday evening.
All right. Before we get into your prediction and I guess my prediction for whatever that's worth, did you notice how good their special teams are? I'm actually just looking at this now. They rank they're number two in the country in terms of punt return success rate. They're number eight in the country in terms of kickoff success rate. So they cover the kicks really well, and they also have returned the kicks really well. They're also 24th in kick return success rate. So they're a pretty solid club in terms of special teams. You know, in games where both offenses and defenses are maybe fairly evenly matched, special teams can be what tips the tide. So I was pretty impressed with what Iowa can do on the special teams side of the ball.
And you mentioned Minnesota's coverage teams under Rob Wenger are going to have to be absolutely elite this weekend, because you mentioned it. They've had a lot of success in terms of returning it. I believe they have 9 returns for about 8 yards punt return, which is much better than what Minnesota is doing. And then their kick returners are averaging about 24 yards a kick return. So you look at Ryan Santoso, he cannot outkick his coverage this week, or else these Hawkeyes are going to be able to flip the field. And then if Minnesota does directionally kick, number one, don't kick it out of bounds. Just either kick it through the back of the end zone, or if you're going to try and place it to the near pylon, I mean, you better have that coverage team there ready to make it, or else Akram Wadley or Ivory Kelly Martin are going to make you pick.
All right, so let's get to predictions. We talked a little bit about the spread already. You said it was at 7 currently with an over-under of 43. On the season against the spread, the Gophers are 3-4-0, where Iowa, conversely, is also 3-4-0 against the spread. All right, Ryan, why don't you go first this time?
I mean, I've laid out my keys, and I keep mentioning, and I know fans don't like to hear it, but Minnesota has not won in Iowa City since there's been a 2 in front of the year. Like, they haven't won in Kinnick since 1999. And they've had chances over the last few years, and I look at this Minnesota team and where they're at right now. You'll have Demery Croft making his second career start. You have an offensive line still trying to figure out its cohesiveness. I'm still unsure of who's going to be starting in the secondary this week. I just don't think it's this Gopher team that really starts this winning tradition back down at Iowa. So I know Iowa's been struggling of late. I know Minnesota's been struggling of late, but I think the home field advantage is too much for Minnesota to overcome. And I have Iowa 24, Minnesota 17.
All right. Well, you know, when we talked early in the season, I said for the Gophers to be able to be bowl eligible, they'd have to basically pull off a game that they shouldn't win. And quite frankly, I thought kind of going into the season, this might be the game that they could pull off that they couldn't win. And I, at this point in the season, given all the injuries that the Gophers have sustained, kind of an inability to at least find an identity that they can stick to offensively where they can be successful, I can't see the Gophers winning this game. As much as I wish I could predict this to be a Gopher win, I think it will be a 23-20 victory for Iowa.
Sounds good to me. And the good news for folks as we wrap up this edition is Derek Burns is going to be back next week. And Luke, it's going to be a very sentimental episode. It'll be episode 100 of Gopher Gridiron Radio somehow. Yeah, I still remember episode one showing up at your house. I don't think we'd really ever met. Had we ever met in person before that day?
I don't think we had. I don't think we had.
And now look how far we've come. We're G-chatting every day. I always am asking about his dog, who's my main man, Taco. And, you know, he's asking me about deer hunting. Look how far we've come, Luke. It's going to be a sentimental episode. And the good thing is cousin Derek Burns is going to return from Saskatchewan to break down this Hate Week game. So I think folks should be excited about next Monday night.
All right. Again, if you enjoy the podcast, check it out on iTunes and Stitcher and, you know, maybe rate or review. We'd appreciate that. That helps other people find us. Again, check out Ryan's work on gopherillustrated.com. In addition to football and recruiting, there's also basketball and basketball recruiting. It's your one-stop shop for Gopher coverage on the internet. So again, thanks for listening, and go Gophers.